Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, we are back. Welcome to the Side Action, episode 30 of season 6. 30 episodes, Coop. My name is Tom Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me on Instagram, Wegspool, and also on X at Wegspool.
And I'm Coop. You can check me on Instagram at Dalton Cooper, on X at Mr. Grumpy Gills. Again, we are the Side Action Pod. Check us out on Instagram and X as well. Actually, 30, little secret here. 30 is actually my favorite number. When I was a little kid, Ken Griffey Jr. was my favorite player. And I was, growing up in Dayton, obviously. We went down to it was cool watching him and Adam Dunn hit home runs in Great American Ballpark as a kid.
Yeah.
I went down there. I was in elementary school. No, I had to be in middle school, I think. But the Little League coach I played with, he had season tickets. So he took me and my dad down. And I actually got Griffey was on the on-deck circle. We were sitting right behind the dugout. I got a foul ball from Griffey. And that was one of my first childhood memories. But it was so awesome. So, yeah, that's a nice little side story. So, yeah, 30 episodes, man.
30 episodes,
who would have thought?
Shout out to Christina Ridgway if she's listening. She's a big Mariners fan, so she's a Griffey fan. So it's good to see you, pal. We haven't we didn't talk last week. You were busy with your brother, right?
Yeah, Memphis was in town, so we enjoyed. We took in the sights, did some Legoland. We went to Monday Night Raw. We got to see The Rock.
You did?
WrestleMania is this weekend. Shout out! So there's the plug. Check
Where
it out.
Where was it? Where was it at?
It was at Allstate Arena.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I got tickets on Game Time, right there. There's another little plug, so shout out to Game Time for all your needs and tickets. We got in the second bowl. We were right on top of the ring. It's perfect. So
that's awesome.
Great time. Yeah, I got to be a little kid again. I haven't been to wrestling in probably, 12 or more years, give or take. So had a little nostalgia. I get to see The Rock. Big Rock fan. So
yeah.
We took in some ball games, went to a Bulls game, did the White Sox game. I'm trying to think. It's been a minute, too.
You looked a little cold.
That was 2 weeks ago.
You looked a little cold at the White Sox game, pal. Was it a little chilly out there?
Well, luckily the sun was out for the most part. So it was in the 50s. It was probably 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. That was the only issue. When the sun was out, it wasn't too bad. You could have a hoodie on. But when the sun went away, it got a little chilly. So not too bad.
Risk.
We definitely we told Irv it was going to be a 1-0 game on the way there. That was the funny part, and I didn't bet on it. I don't know why.
And that was the game they didn't get past first base, right? That they were
they had a couple. They had three base runners, I think, the whole game. They were all in the first three innings, I'm pretty sure. So
a rough one.
Yeah, pretty quick game. I think we were out of there by 5 o'clock on the dot, and the game started at 3:20. So
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a game.
Mark Burley would be proud somewhere.
I went to a game. Hey, the Mets are coming to town too.
I showed up late to the game. We got there in the second inning, and I think the total time for the game was an hour and 20 minutes. So we missed the first 8 minutes. So we were only there for an hour 12 minutes.
An hour.
It was just insane. Yeah. I mean, it was like he just. I kind of like that though. So.
Yeah, and they have the best ballpark food there.
So yeah,
there's a lot of good options down there.
People
that's,
always talk.
That's the one thing about the state.
They bag the Sox. They love Wrigley Field. The bottom line is, we all know Wrigley. It's because of the surrounding area. It's not the field itself. Yeah. It's better than it used to be, but come on, it's G rate now? Is that what it's called now? They keep changing it. That's always going to be U.S. Cellular or Comiskey Park to me, but where the White Sox play. They got a great concourse. You walk around. You got great food. The kids can hit the batting cage, wiffle ball stuff. It's always a fun time.
No, absolutely. I said, it's the guaranteed rate field, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. G-rate.
G-rate. So, yeah, it was a good time. But how's the Hawaii treating you, by the way? So you're walking a 5K every day.
I'm walking a 5K. Jimmy Weggs is trying to lose the winter weight because everybody's so fit out here.
Are they really?
Oh God! Everybody's ripped out here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's two fat guys, me and some other guy. And
it's probably because the food's so damn expensive. Nobody can afford to eat.
That's
so
a fair point. Fair point. It is expensive. I've been spending like $150 a week on groceries, and I'm trying to like be good about it. But I'm like, oh my god, you know. But no, it's my week's pretty simple. You know, I've been walking to work each day and working, going home, doing a little gym stuff. There's a pool. Nice. Then I'm like exhausted because if I have calls, like today I had a call at 5 in the morning. 5 a.m. calls, dude. It's like, what am I, in the military now? So I'm up at 5, try to get some sleep, get back up, do the walk, come back. By like 7:30, I'm exhausted. I feel like an old man. And But then come the weekend, you know, Jimmy Wiggs is kicking it up a notch. Last Friday was fun. Actually, last week was fun in general. I went out Wednesday night with my buddy, got some nice cocktails. His good friend and future roommate's a bartender at a Japanese restaurant in Waikiki. He made some nice cocktails. On Thursday, I watched a little bit of the games very early. And then Friday, we did volleyball. We got some drinks afterwards at a beach near the bar, or Barney the Beach. Then I went to an EDM concert.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on Instagram. That's right.
Those guys were awesome, by the way. The Sponges, very underrated.
The Sponges.
It was funny because, like,
one of
the guys knew the guy that went on at 10 or 10:30. So we were there pretty early. Yeah, it's pretty early for EDM. And, you know, I'm just kind of grooving around and whatever. And then when the Sponges came on at 12:30, these dudes look like they like glasses, kind of scruffy, long hair, baseball caps. I'm like, who are these guys? All of a sudden, they just kicked it up a notch. I mean, the lights were better. The music was better. I could only stay a little bit longer because I got up early to do the hike, which I was discussing before the pod, which was 4 miles straight up. I was sweating as much as I've ever sweat in my life, and it wasn't even that hot. Thank God. It was probably it was a nice breezy day, so it was kind of cool, but I was sweating so bad, and this girl was just running
like
60, me ragged.
70s? What are we talking?
It was probably like 70, but I mean humid, but 70, but it wasn't
90.
You said
it started at what time again? You said it started
8:30,
at like
8:30. 8:30 in the morning, and met this girl who was a marathon chick who's like a badass. I mean, she just worked me. And it was a lot of steps. Like at the end, it was all stairs. They had built those stairs into the mud, you know, like kind of to get the bearings. So there was probably 200 to 250 steps to finish this thing. Nice. And by the end, I mean, I was tired and got a great picture. It's beautiful up there. And when we went down, I basically came home and took like a 2-hour nap. I was exhausted. But then I did go out again, played some darts with the guys. And then Sunday, I just was kind of garbage. I just laid around. I did get some fancy cocktails with another young lady, local young lady. You saw the one with the smoke. Did you see that one? That was a good one. It was like
I think so.
Like
that
a
was
glass
Sunday,
container.
Said?
Yeah, and then the smoke.
Okay.
But now I'm back to like Mr. Really tight, you know, day. Don't do much work out, go to sleep. But I'm going to go camping. Well, that's the preview for the weekend. I'll talk about that later. So I mean, things are going fine. Things are going fine.
You're putting the blinders on, if you will.
It's a little bit like Groundhog Day, Coop. It's kind of the same thing every day. I mean, I'm not complaining. It is high of 79 every day. Same wind every day. I'm sure it'll change at some point. But it's like, it's beautiful out there. You can see it back there again. You know, it's lovely. You're kind of like, should I go to the beach today? Yeah, I'll just sit by the pool today. That's fine. You know, that's okay. I'll go to the beach tomorrow. You know what I mean?
But get you some laps in. You know,
I do. It's not a. I do a little thing. They got a little hot tub in there too. So anyway.
Yeah. It's hard to complain. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? I mean, that sounds like a champagne problem.
So let's talk about it. I saw it on the recap. Wolfpack Friday. What happened? I didn't get any texts. I didn't get any drunken texts or, you know, videos. What's going on? What happened?
Yeah. No, it was just Arpan, Lee, and myself.
Nice.
We went out to, I think it was like Lincoln Park area. So we went to that Irish. We didn't start at that Irish bar that has like a hole in the wall that goes to another bar. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, Halligan?
Yeah, we ended up there. We started at a different establishment down the street. Watched the Houston game, and we watched the Tennessee game. So we, you know, doing that for a minute. But yeah, that was fun. Arpan did his thing. You know, Lee and I did our thing. So
is Lieutenant Cavs getting around okay? He's got his moves back.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't be able to tell that he, has had an injury at this point. So yeah, it looks like he's doing all right. I think he's just, if anything, he's following his protocol, which is good. You know, so I'm sure he's doing his exercises. He seems like a pretty disciplined individual. So I feel like when he says
he's got to keep those calves, you can't just have one calf.
Oh man, so yeah, I mean, when that's your calling card, right? You got to keep it. So. Yeah, so, but that was a good time. I learned that I can't grab Arpan by the collar, even if I'm just fucking with him. He doesn't like that. So I learned that the hard way. Yeah.
Good to know.
So, yeah, good to know. If you're messing around with Arpan, don't, like, yeah, I can't remember what I said, but I just grabbed him by the collar just to, like,
he, like, grab your wrist and give you, like, a...
It was more like he really got into my, like, he was, like, right here.
Oh.
He's like, don't do that. I'm like... All right. Like, I didn't mean to do that. I mean, that's not the reaction I was looking for. Yeah.
The wrong switch.
So, yeah. Like, I was just fucking with you. My apologies. So, but yeah.
Pretty chill. What did you guys do? How'd you do on bowling yesterday or 2 days ago?
So we, and then, let's see, Tuesday, we won the third quarter, quote unquote.
Okay.
So, the playoffs start next week.
Nice.
So, We've come this far. This is, you know, it's it all comes down to this, if you will. Yeah.
Is it like single elimination, or how does it work?
Yeah.
So it's a bracket.
Yeah.
It's April Madness.
Essentially. So it comes down to week by week now. So
you won some money last week, didn't you?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, we did pretty well. We won quite a bit of money in brackets and King of the Hill. And
you showed me some cash. There was just a fan of cash.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, we did all right.
You know, just
so
fanning.
Which is ironic because when I bought those White Sox tickets, uh-huh. And I woke up the next morning to a bunch of fraud texts from my card, basically. So I haven't had my card. I'm still waiting for the mail. Oh. So luckily I won all that cash. So that's what I've literally been living on.
You got a cash guy. You got a billfold? Or is it a rubber rubber band?
No, I've got just like a regular
billfold.
Yeah.
So I got you.
Okay. Can't complain too much. Well, so, and then we had Easter at Steph's house. So that was about
it. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do anything for Easter. I laid around and... You know,
that's all right.
Macked on a black girl, but you know what I do.
Yeah, it's good to have a recovery day.
Yeah, I needed it. I needed it. Well, let's talk about the shed, man. I can see you always put in some things here. So, I have some people in the shed. Maybe I beat up on them a little too early, but you know, the White Sox. I know you went to the game, and I am a fan. Just so you know, I'm not just picking on the South Side of Chicago, but. I mean, give me a break. They did win on Tuesday, thank you, but they've started 1-4. I don't think they played last night. And they only scored 11 runs in those five games, Coop. They're not really getting it done. I mean, the Mets have scored 8 through 4 games. I don't know if they played today. But that's really not going to win you a lot of games, averaging that low total. So when you're just over 2 runs a game, you're probably not going to win a lot of ball games. So and I also saw this weird thing on Twitter or X where – I think the game started the other night, and the first base coach was like in the bathroom or something, and he was nowhere.
They didn't have a Scully, is what it was.
Oh,
I think the Scully was broken. Yeah, it's like they have to have a Scully for the base coach. Yeah, I was reading about that, but yeah, I saw that they had it on SportsCenter where it was like everybody's like standing around, like, what the hell? Where's this guy?
What kind of operation are we running here? Let's go. Let's start this goddamn game. It was really weird. So, White Sox, get in the shed. Figure your stuff out. It's only April. I get it. It's only April, but
yeah.
Please, you look like worse than a minor league squad right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And just for the people at home, obviously, because they can't see this, I love the frowny face that you put in the outline. That's probably my favorite thing about the whole thing.
The
dot, dot, dot frowny face. Yeah. So, no, they're definitely shed worthy. It was the only bright spot has been. Their lone lefty, what the hell is his name? He started opening day and he pitched Monday night too, and he pitched really well.
Okay.
And I can't remember his name. It's like Italian or something. I'll look it up as we're going here. But who I've got in the shed, I've got John Fisher and basically all of the Oakland A's ownership. So they announced today that they're going to be playing their games basically from 2025 to 2027 in a minor league stadium. It was the AAA affiliate for maybe the A's, or excuse me, for the Angels. I can't remember the name of it, but it's going to be a minor league stadium for 2 years until they can get everything situated in Vegas. So when
you say minor league stadium, they're going to be in Oakland? Are they going to be in Las Vegas? Where are they going to be playing these games?
No, this – give me just – I knew you were going to ask me this question.
Sorry.
No, I should have
No pre-show warm-up. Just went right in.
That's okay. So they're going to play in Sacramento. That's what
okay.
it is. So
okay, Sacktown.
Yeah, they're going to play in a minor league park in Sacramento.
I've been to Sacktown. Not bad.
Well, I mean, the Kings have a hard time getting people. They have a pretty small stadium. So
yeah.
This place has fewer than 11,000 seats. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they don't really care about the fans. I mean, they did move the team. So, you know, we'll go from there. But I gotcha.
Yeah, so it's been a tough week to be an A's fan, that's for sure.
That's
you know,
for sure.
City of Oakland has lost the football team, and now they're losing the baseball team. So, you know, crappy ownership, it's just tough that they did that. I also have the Miami Marlins.
Yes.
Much like the Sox, they're off to a great start. They're 0-8 right now, and they actually lost today as well. They have a negative 30 run differential, and they're already 4.5 games back of the Braves in the division. I don't know if you remember this or not, but this team was a wild card team last year.
I know.
So,
I don't understand.
They have a little bit of injury to their starting pitching, obviously, but you know this organization has been known to develop and you know at least be able to hang on. They've got some talent in the lineup. They should be able, you know. But 0-8, man, you can't win a division, and you can't win, you know. And you can't. I guess you can't get to the playoffs in the first month of the season, but by God, you can lose, you know,
sure.
the playoffs in the first month of the season is basically the old adage. So, it's going tough there in Miami. It really is. So they're in the shed.
They don't have the greatest fans down there either, so nobody ever shows up to the games.
Which is odd, because you would think if more of the Latino culture,
sure.
it'd be a big deal.
There's
so,
a lot
maybe
more to
when
do.
They, you know. They can win. Maybe that's a big deal, too, if they have to actually start winning. So, I also have Rasheed Rice.
Oh, yes,
I don't know if you saw the video and everything going on.
Well, I didn't see the video, but I've seen all the comments.
Yeah, him and his buddies were, I guess, racing down the highway. You can find the video on Twitter or YouTube at this point. They caused, I think it was a six-car crash.
Wow.
His lawyers came out today and stating that he was the one driving the Lamborghini when it crashed. So, and the other kind of bad part was they were shown like leaving the scene of the crash. So
that's great.
Obviously acting a fool is going to get you in the shed. He's not having a good week. Obviously this could be, you know, unfortunately more, I don't want to say a Henry Ruggs situation.
Well,
but,
yeah, I mean,
obviously the legal repercussion could lead to that, you know, into that perspective, if you will. So, he's definitely in the shed. And then this happened, obviously, 2 weeks ago, and we didn't really get to talk about it. But Pete Rose, I think, is in the shed right now because I think he's wishing he had an interpreter, you know, back to blame for his gambling back in the 70s and 80s. So everything going on with Shohei Ohtani and, like, all the craziness and the theft.
Yeah.
And obviously, like I said, we didn't get a chance to really talk about that since our last pod. But, yeah, just I think Pete Rose has been taken to the shed this week. Just, you know, it's been a tough week for him. It's been a tough week for Shohei.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
I mean it's funny because now that everything is all gambling all the time, I mean he still would have been fined and all that stuff, but I don't know if he'd have lost his chance at the Hall. You know what I'm saying? But but still, yeah, Shohei. I mean,
yeah,
it's okay. It's all on the interpreter, right? It's all the interpreter. So,
right.
What about Club Dub this week? Let's go positive here. I'm going to add somebody that's not on the list, by the way. But go ahead, you go first on the Club Dub.
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah,
so I have the Texans to start
okay.
Club Dub. Obviously, they acquired Stephon Diggs, and I spelled Stephon wrong. That's funny. Stephon Diggs in a trade with Buffalo. Yeah, I was just typing away. Anyway, obviously they added Joe Mixon earlier this offseason from the Bengals. To go along with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. You know, they got C.J. Stroud, you know, rookie of the year coming, you know, obviously at quarterback. And, you know, he's only taken an $8 million cap hit this year.
Yeah.
So they're really taking advantage of his rookie deal.
Sure.
The plan is already to let Stephon walk after 2024 anyway. Like, they're going to let him be a free agent in 25. So it's basically a rental for the year. They give up, I think, a fourth or a sixth round pick, and then take like an $18 million cap hit. They've never won. They're one of the four teams that have never won the Super Bowl either, or have been to the Super Bowl.
I think actually get a pick back too. If I recall correctly, they get the sixth back. I think they get
okay,
up
that
the
what
fourth.
It, the, they got a the sixth, second, maybe
something
yeah.
like
okay.
that.
Okay,
but you know, I'm a little ambivalent on Stefan Diggs. He's you know, I think he's a good player at times, but he's not a real number one guy to me. Like, he can't get open a red zone, first of all. And secondly, like, obviously he's had good years. He made the most amazing play for Minnesota, you know, Vikings fan, you know, history. But I just think that, I don't know, he can be a big baby, but he's certainly going to help that receiver room. It's just a one-year rental. I just wonder if he's going to be a good like teammate, or is he going to be an a-hole on the sideline? So we'll see what happens.
I actually think it'll be good. Like, he'll get a lot of single coverage, and he's going to bring a veteran presence to that wide receiver room.
For
so
sure.
He's going to light the box for Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon's going to have a huge fantasy year this year coming up.
You heard it here, everybody.
Well, definitely, I'm going to say it. He'll definitely be on the Coops way too early, you know, uppers this year. We'll, look out for that. So we also put the 76ers in club dub. So Joel Embiid returned on Tuesday night. First time back in 9 weeks, you know, just in time for the playoffs to get him tuned up. He had 24 points in the win. And, you know, they're really looking to make a push. They have Tyrese Maxey has been playing really well. A lot of people see him as, the most improved player. In the year this year for the league. So definitely looking forward to that. And then I had Ronel Blanco. I don't know if you remember seeing this, but he pitched a no-hitter against the Blue Jays on Monday.
Oh.
It was the 17th no-hitter in Houston Astros history. It was also the earliest no-hitter thrown in a season in MLB history. So fun fact. And he's actually only on the roster right now due to injuries, so they're starting pitching. He's just really taking advantage of his opportunity. I also saw that he signed for like $9,000 when he was a 22-year-old. He didn't make his debut in the majors until he was 28.
Wow.
And he's now 30 years old. So he's obviously kind of gotten to the peak, and he's
veteran.
Really taking advantage. Just definitely a cool story to
a good story.
Think about.
Amazing.
Maybe so that's what I had in clubbed up this week.
Maybe they'll make a movie out of him someday.
Oh, Garrett Crochet, by the way, is the pitcher for the White Sox. That's
okay.
their number one guy. That was the guy that started opening day, and he's the guy that that beat the Braves the other night when the White Sox won. So just to let you know,
I
want to put respect on
Crochet. I like that.
Crochet.
Bobby Boucher. Okay, I got you. my club dub. We're gonna start non-sports related. First of all, I don't know if you noticed, Coop, you haven't mentioned this lovely camisa I have on, this Hawaiian
nice.
Aloha shirt. My coworker, Sharon Har, she's very nice. She bought me 6 of these things. She's like, I am sick of seeing you in those goddamn golf shirts. I'm going to get you some Aloha shirts. She said she got a discount. I hope she did, because they don't look cheap. But I got 6 of these bad boys. I've been wearing them all week. And now I feel like a real Hawaiian. And it's a nice shirt. It's a nice looking shirt. Feels nice, comfortable, breathes.
Charlie Sheen would be proud.
I know where to get your shirts. You just got to send me your size dimensions.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have no. My chest is getting bigger too.
They're built for like maybe not bigger gentlemen, but they kind of they're airy. They're not skin tight. Like, I know you like the skin tight ones.
No. They just buy them that way. They end up being skin tight. There's a difference.
It's not a medium anymore. It's a whatever.
Yeah. What's really funny is I used to wear like the button up bowling shirt when I was a kid. My mom thought it was cool to have that. So I love the style. No, it is a nice looking shirt.
Nice.
Like that
they
color.
Feel good.
By the way.
I feel good. So that's Club Dub. Sharon, go to Club Dub. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Shout out, Sharon.
Get yourself something nice. You know. But this goes to college basketball, which we'll talk a little more about in a minute. The DJs, NC State, man. I should have been more strong with my NC State love, which I had early. Didn't have them over Kentucky. Sorry, I screwed that up. But in the end, I mean, these guys were awesome, dude. DJ Horn, he's obviously the little guy. He's really quick on the outside, hit some J's. But my favorite guy in the tournament, DJ Burns, this dude is, big smooth, and there's so many different, comparisons to like Escalade, the streetball guy, and Tractor Trailer, and, Zach Randolph, but he's his own guy, and What I love about him is, and I don't know if you got to see him play much, but I've seen him play, I think, 3 out of the 4 games in a tournament. I saw him play 3 ACC tournament games. This dude, he's a complete basketball player. Like, he's got great moves, scoring, but he's really good passer. He always gets his hand on the ball in defense, too. So they've won 9 straight elimination games in March. Now, granted, we're turning into April here, but... So I'm wondering if it continue into April. We can answer that question in a minute. But the Wolfpack, the DJs, those are my guys in Club Dub. Have yourself, go visit the DJ booth. Go ahead. Scratch it up DJ a little bit with the DJ. And then the other guy is Zach Edey. I know this is kind of a whatever. It's a shout out to Action. You know, Action is going to Phoenix to the Final Four this weekend. So he's probably down there right now. He's there. He was going to go regardless of whether Purdue made it or not, but you know he's a Boiler. He went to Purdue, so he's very excited. First time Purdue's made it in a gazillion years, or maybe ever. Did I put that in? I think it was since 1980. I think it's since Purdue.
Yeah, it's the 80s.
So sure. Zach Edey, this dude, 120 points in 4 games, bro. This guy is balling out, and I know he's like 7'10" or whatever he is, but he has willed his team in. I mean, there were a couple situations where they didn't look so great, but he made it happen, and he's playing great. You know, I'm not a huge Edey fan in the NBA, but I do think that he's balling out for his team, and he's made his team that lost in the first round last year to the Final Four. Without him, they'd probably lose in the first round again. So, Zach Edey, why don't you get yourself a little drink before the Final Four? Maybe that'll help you win a game or two.
Did you hear what he said after that they won the game when he was going to the Final Four? Did you see what he said?
No, I did see him cut down the net without the ladder, though.
He said he had a boner.
Did he?
After they won. Yeah, there's a video. So, you know, you have DJ Horny up there. And I was like, well, speaking of Horny, you got Zach Edey clubbed up. So you got a lot of blood flow going on in this.
A lot of blood flow. When it's going to be Burns against Edey, that's going to be a fun matchup, a very distinct matchup. Anyway, what's your stat of the week here? Let's give me a stat of the week.
Oh, yeah. So since baseball started, obviously, we wanted to throw another one in here for you. So can you name me the player who holds the record for the most career grand slams and how many, for a bonus point, how many home runs, I guess, grand slams did this person hit?
Jeez. Most grand slams, huh? It's probably not as logical as it should be, but I would say most grand slams would be Barry Bonds.
No, you're in the right era, though.
Yeah, well, the steroid era, of course. So how about Mark McGwire?
No, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. So Alex Rodriguez is the correct answer.
Wow, that's a lot.
He had 25 grand slams in 22 seasons.
That's a good number. Yeah. 25.
So, 25. Lou Gehrig is second on the list with 23, and then Manny Ramirez is third with 21. And then Eddie Murray is fourth with 19, and then you start getting to the ties with like Willie McCovey and Robin Ventura at 18.
Robin Ventura. Nice.
So
I like it.
That was the So just hopefully that helps somebody at a bar somewhere this week.
That's right. All right, well, let's go into college basketball here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the games I highlighted. You could throw in a few if you want to, and then we'll talk about the Final Four this week. Programming note, hopefully we'll be able to meet next week. I don't know if you can or not, but we will recap the Final Four championship, then we'll talk about the Masters, and then maybe take a couple weeks off before the draft, just programming note. But let's dig into college basketball for the last time here. I really like this game. I shouldn't say like it. North Carolina was one of my teams I had a future ticket on, so I didn't like it, but I watched this game. And Alabama, the Crimson Tide, the 4 seed, they were +5 in this game. And early it looked like North Carolina had their number. They were scoring at will. Bacot was dominating them. In the second half, it just kind of flipped. And it wasn't from the three-point line necessarily. Crimson Tide just kind of went to this one guy, Grant Nelson, in the creep stash. I know you saw that creep stash of his. He's got a little weird stash, but he's a senior, 24 points, 12 rebounds. This dude hit 10 of their final 12 points in this game, and they ended up winning 89-87. He also had the game-winning block, which maybe it wouldn't have made a difference, but he actually missed the last two free throws, And then Harrison Ingram tried the full court shot, and, you know, Nelson just swatted out of the air to end the game. So that was the first game I thought was pretty amazing, 89-87, fun game, a lot of scoring, a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the first times Alabama actually played defense, because North Carolina only shot, you know, 38% from the field.
Yeah.
Even though they scored 87 points, they had, you know, I think 78 field goals, I think I have here written down. So
they had 56 in the first half, so they only scored 31 points in the second half. Yeah.
Yeah, so Alabama really tightened up in the second half. And, yeah, that was, I mean, every other statistical category, Carolina, you know, kind of dominated the game. So, and it just, I don't want to say it feels good, but it just feels right that the team of, like, 24-year-olds got beat by a bunch, you know, by the team of, like, 19-year-olds. So,
yeah,
that's just, but, yeah, no, to your point, it was kind of a, you know, a game that you didn't know what was going to happen. I think, in my opinion, like you could see it going either way. So that was like the beginning. Once you get to the Sweet 16, you kind of are like, okay, what are we looking at here? Because these are two good teams going against each other. So
yeah. And then the other Sweet 16 game I really liked, or I shouldn't say liked, I'm noting it, is Duke, another 4 seed. They were 4.5-point dogs against Houston. Now, granted, they probably wouldn't have won this game, but Jamal Shedd went down in the first half with his ankle injury, and then it kind of changed. But the game was still nip and tuck. It just was one of those kind of like middle school, high school scoring games where his final score is 54-51. So it was the opposite of that Carolina game. But you saw some great defense there by both teams. And in the end, the Blue Devils did advance to Elite Eight and kind of surprised people. I don't think many people had them that far. But those 4 seeds this year did pretty well.
Wegsy, we talked about this right before the tournament started, that the ceiling for Duke was going to be the Elite Eight.
I know, but did you put that in your bracket? Because I've seen you on the Wegs pool standings. It couldn't have been that good for Duke.
I think I had Houston beating them. So, but I didn't know Jamal Shedd was going to get hurt.
No, of course.
You know, looking at this, you know, they actually shot the same percentage. The only difference was is that Duke made 6 threes and Houston only made 2.
Yep.
So that was really the big difference in the game. Houston missed 8 free throws as well. So that'll really. That's going to haunt you for a long, long time.
Yeah,
they shot 52% from the free throw line. So, that was the big difference. They played their defense was fantastic. You couldn't have played better defense for Houston. So they could not put the ball. They were like allergic to putting the ball.
They're kind of that stagnant and rough team. And that's the only thing about Houston that was a fear for me.
Could you imagine Dalton Connect on Houston? Could you imagine?
I mean, he had a good tournament too. But yes, the Daltons unite. So then we get to the Elite Eight games. I want to go back to Bama because I think they were one of my surprise teams this weekend. 4 seed, they played Clemson, we talked about Clemson. I know you didn't ride them as far as you should, but they really surprised. And really they were – probably should have won this game, to be honest with you, Coop. But they they allowed the Crimson Tide to shoot 10 of 15 in the second half from deep. And Mark Sears alone was 6 of 7 from deep. Not to mention Clemson missed 8 second-half free throws. And they lose the game 89-82. But when you watch this game, I was watching it because I was rooting for Clemson. I don't know why. Just kind of sticking, you know, come on, let's go, Clemson. Let's, you know, I was wrong about you, and then I start rooting for you, and you suck. But they had the inside. They had the inside guys. But then every time they went down, Bama was hitting a three. And I was like, when are you going to run these guys off the three-point line? But in the end, Bama not only covers the 3.5, but they win it outright. And, you know, they won by 7, so they really got it done.
Yeah, big difference in this game, too, was the rebound margin. I mean, Alabama had 11 more rebounds than Clemson. So
that was Pringle. You know, Pringle had, like, 8 offensive rebounds in that game.
So, and I think a lot of those threes came off of those offensive rebounds. So
they always
do. Second-chance points. Yeah, second-chance points, somebody's open, and, it just comes back to haunt you. So,
yeah, those kickers.
Yeah, no, I got my, you know, I talked about the Tigers on our pre-tournament. I told them, you know, they could, you know, if they were going to be one of the last ACC teams standing, I think people will laugh at me. So
I didn't laugh at you. I didn't laugh at you. I just thought that they sucked, but I was wrong. You know, they played just like NC State. They played so bad down the stretch, and then they lost early in the ACC tournament, unlike NC State. So they did surprise me. They played really well, and I was rooting for them. But I guess I didn't need to stop rooting for them, and they would have won. But anyway. How about the last games, NC State? Thank you for the segue. I already mentioned how I love the DJs, but this team was +7 in this game. Did you know, well, we'll get to this later, I guess, but did you know that this team, obviously, I said, has won 9 straight in must-win situations. that, you know, they were down in this game. If you watch this game, they were down like 27-21 at halftime. Second half, 55 points on that tough Duke defense. I already talked about DJ Burns, but State is just playing so well together. And I will tell you, their one guy, Diarra, who's like their, you know, second big man, he's been going through Ramadan. And I don't know if it's over, but I hope so, because like he's been having to play midday when he can't eat or drink anything. And then they'd have to give him spells of rest. And actually, this game, he had some foul trouble, so he didn't play much. But when he plays well with Burns, and then you've got the Horn on the outside, and every now and then O'Connell hits a shot, they're a tough team to beat.
Yeah. No, they've got good size and good length, too, to go with that. So they can play good defense. But, yeah, I don't know what shifted in this game, but it just you could feel it. It just NC State started running away. Yeah, you could just kind of see that Duke couldn't put the ball in the basket. I feel like the officiating was a little suspect, to be honest. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were making a lot more shots. And they were really taking advantage of Duke in transition, too. It seemed like DJ would get it, you know, set in the half court, and then they would just go from there. And then they would even kick out to him definitely later in the game even. So,
well, in the first half, they just missed shots. I think they shot like 28% in the first half. And so you knew that was going to balance out. It's just that Duke wasn't really in sync either on offense. And I think the Wolfpack had something to do with that. Once they got Filipowski out of this game was over. I mean, they had nothing inside. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, the one kid, the freshman, had a really good game for Duke. But, you know, NC State's on a mission, and it's kind of worked for them. So they get back for the first time since 1983, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, shout out Jimmy B.
Let's talk about the Final Four now. You've got two games, obviously. The first game is the NC State, now won the South, and then Purdue, Midwest. Purdue's a robust 8.5-point favorite, 146-point total in this one. Dude, I have to mention this, and I didn't do it. I really kicked myself because when I left the state, it was right before this all, I should have got a ticket on NC State. 200-1 before the tournament started. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
200-1. So now they're down to 20-1. So obviously a little late on that, but they start out the lowest odds, or the, you know, I guess the longest odds on the board. The money line is +3, it's 25. Just some quick math here, Coop. If you happen to like NC State, like Jimmy Weggs, put the 20-1 down. Why? You could be Jimmy Hedgerton, James Hedgerton the third. Because if they end up winning this game, then all you have to do is just go on the other side, and you're guaranteed a good chunk of cash. If you roll the money lines at +325, and I would imagine they'll be like +400 on the next one, you probably get to more like $1,600 instead of $2,000 on the win. So, I mean, I'm just saying, 20-1, pretty good odds still for a team that's won nine games in a row.
Yeah, no, and just they definitely have America on their side, to say the least. So,
yep.
I don't see how they could beat Purdue right now. And I know they're playing well. Yeah. It feels like we're on this course for Purdue and UConn just to play for a national championship. It really does feel that way. So, I mean, I think the biggest chance or the best chance that NC State has is, I think you got to let Edie score 30 or 40 and just hope that the guys around him can't put the ball in the bucket. Like, right. He's going to score 40 points. Like, he's going to get to the foul line. He's going to, like, it is what it is. Like, if they could stay somewhat out of foul trouble and, like, make them score kind of slowly and not let them obviously get out to, you know, controlling the pace of the game, I can see that. But, I mean, to your point, if you're going to play them for that natty for sure.
Yeah, the thing is that, and you saw it in the, you know, your Dalton Connect game. Well, Connect had a great game. We didn't mention that. He had, like, 36 points or something in the last game, too, against Purdue.
Yeah, I'm going to order his jersey, I think.
So they decided to play Edie one-on-one. That's why he scored 40, right? And it kind of worked because they didn't hit – I think they only hit two threes until, like, the last minute, like, 2 minutes of the game. You know, Evanston, Lance Jones hit the big three to really kind of stretch the lead. But – that is probably the way to beat them. Now, the only thing about it, NC State is, you know, their front line, they've got three good players. They've got Burns, Diarra, and then what's the other dude's name? He's the workman guy. I love that guy. But in the end, they only play seven or eight guys. So you can get into the bench pretty fast if there's some foul trouble. So I'm wondering if they're going to switch to more of a zone concept, but we'll see what happens. I still would roll with NC State, even money line here. 8.5 seems just too many points. I don't think they're going to blow them out. So, but
this definitely seems like an over game, though. I think I'd take the over here.
Oh, yeah. 146? Get that over. Get that over.
And they're in Phoenix. The air's probably a little thinner because they're at elevation, I think, right? Because Phoenix is at like 3,000 feet, give or take.
Probably. I mean, I'm not a geologist.
Let's see.
So the next game is Alabama, who won the West, the 4 seed versus the 1 seed UConn East.
1,086.
Okay. And so UConn's 11.5. I've seen 12-point favorites, 161.5-point total. Now, let's face it, Alabama plays over games. I mean, even almost every game they've played in is an over game. The only way this goes under is UConn just completely blows them off the face of the earth, which they've been doing to everybody. But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's going to be fast paced. I'd play the over there too. But I lay the points. I think that Bama has played so well. They played so well in wherever the hell they were playing in their region. I just kind of expect them to shoot those threes in the bigger stadium. You know, it's always something about the depth perception in that first game. They're not going to be as effective as they've been in these other games. And I think that that's going to be a problem for them. I think they're going to get blown out in this one.
Really? You think it's going to – okay. I do like your theory of the over. I don't know if I would lay 11.5, though. That seems like that smells like a cover, just because UConn's been dribbling every game out. Oh. They're not going to run the score up. To your point, so even if UConn does blow them out, I feel like Alabama can definitely hit a backdoor cover. I'd be closer. I think I'd be more comfortable at 9 or 9.5 even. But once you hit 10, to me, I feel like that's the number. So
just so you know, UConn has covered. They've covered in 10 straight NCAA tournament games since last year. Just putting information out there.
Just putting it out there. So you know what that means, Wegsy? It means they're due. That means they're due for one.
I forgot to.
And you know they got in late. You know they got in late last year. They had plane trouble. So. But knowing Hurley, knowing Dan, he'll use this to motivate the fellas. Motivation. So
I forgot to mention before the preview is that it should have been my stat of the week. Did you know, besides NC State, you have the top three offenses per KenPom in offensive efficiency in Purdue? Alabama's one, UConn is two, and Purdue's three. Yeah. So it's going to be some points scored.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a good point too. So yeah, we're taking overs. We're rooting for baskets. Yeah,
but you like Bama to cover this number.
I like Bama to cover, but UConn will win.
Yeah, and they're going to win the game.
Yeah, and UConn's going to win the title. I mean, barring any kind of injury or like something crazy.
Well, and I put in the notes for the title game to skip ahead. They've won by double digits in every game since the St. John's game, which was a 95-90 game, by the way. So if it's going to be within the 10 points, like you think, it's going to be a high scoring game. So, cause UConn can light it up. That's the closest game they've played in probably like 3 weeks, but we'll see what happens. I just think they're on a mission. I mean, maybe something happens. The only thing about what Hurley said is they don't play in a lot of close games because they blow teams out. If they get pushed a little bit, you never know. Maybe they get a little tight, you know. And again, I don't think teams are going to shoot. Usually what we always say on this podcast, first half totals under because the shooting is going to be pretty bad early, and then they start figuring it out in the second half because that depth perception, because they're playing in a football arena, right? It's a really huge arena. It's hard to get those angles to start for most teams.
That's fair. Different backdrops, if you will, stuff like that. So,
that's right.
That UConn team, they do look unstoppable, to your point.
Well, that's why I'm NC State.
And they play defense. That's the thing.
What I just added up, we've got they might be their number. Okay, I'm sorry, I misspoke. UConn's the number one adjusted team, Purdue's number two, and Alabama's three. And then they're fourth adjusted in defense, UConn. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Whereas Alabama's
so top five,
105.
Yeah.
And produced 17, which is still really good. NC State is 40 and 44, respectively. But, yeah, it's hard to imagine that. I still see what happens. I mean, I think I still like NC State maybe to do an upset, but I understand why you think Purdue's going to win. I don't think they're going to cover that number. But yeah, come the title game, I mean, come on. It's going to be one of those things that the whole public is going to be on UConn, though. And I don't know.
Yeah, but they've been the favorite since we started, though. So, yeah. I mean, they've been the best team all year for a reason well. So, and also they just, you know, last year's team wasn't even as good as this year's team.
No,
that's
I know.
The thing. Like, and it's a brand new group, and it's not necessarily a brand new group, but it's kind of a new group.
It's a couple of three guys from last year that were playing a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just it's something special. It's crazy. It's kind of cool.
Well, let's talk about the weekend ahead. I'm going to give you a little preview. Mama Wegs is coming Monday. She's coming nice. To Hawaii, and I got to get her a lay. I got to ask somebody where I can get kind of those type of things. But but I'm going beach camping on Friday. That's going to be exciting. Some of the volleyball crew is going camping on the beach. So,
You got a tent, or do you sleep out under the stars? Are you a star sleeper?
I bought a sleeping bag. I went to Target yesterday and bought a sleeping bag, and I'm hoping I can squeeze in a tent. I don't know if I'm going to make any new friends on the beach, but I would love that to happen. But I'm prepared to be under the stars. I mean, it only gets to like whatever, like 55, 57 at night, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, wear a hoodie, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but then it's going to be hopefully a lighter hike on Saturday, so I'm not like incapacitated like last week where I was sore till yesterday. And then Mama Legs comes, so I got to show her around the island.
Nice. Make sure you get your electrolytes, you know, that'll help with that soreness. Bananas going, you know?
I'm trying, dude. They said magnesium, but I'm telling you, bro, I was...
Yeah,
at least there's a hot tub on the facility. I've been using that for the last few days.
Nice. Hell yeah. It doesn't live a good, you know, whirlpool.
That's right. So.
But no, I don't have too much going on. I'm supposed to go to dinner Friday night, grab some sushi, and then we're going to play volleyball on Saturday. And then, I don't know, maybe we'll do the wolf pack. And I know the eclipse is coming up. I don't know if that's a big deal in Hawaii because they're not really near it. So, and then we got the playoffs. So, playoffs? Talking about the playoffs.
How big is the bracket for the playoff?
So six teams made it from each division. So, what, one, two, well, three rounds, four rounds technically.
So 16, you said?
Yes, well, six teams. So 12 total, if you will.
12 total.
There's two divisions. It's like baseball. You know, I have like two divisions.
So 12 made it, so there must be some sort of bye situation, right? Because...
I think so.
I guess you'll figure it out. It's no big deal.
I will figure it out. I know that we're in it. I know that we're the first seed. That's all I really care.
Yeah, the one
I didn't
seed.
Really care.
Number one.
That's what I told. Yeah, that's what I told her. Like, it doesn't matter who we bowl because like the game objective doesn't change, right? Like we're still trying to bowl our highest score possible. We're trying to make the best shot possible.
It's true.
There's it doesn't matter who we.
It doesn't matter what they do. It's what you do.
Correct. Like that doesn't matter. Like all we can do is what we can control. So,
yeah,
make good shots, make your spares. There it is. Same thing with volleyball. Just don't beat yourself, you know?
Well, sometimes you can get your ass beat by a good player, but it happens once in a while.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. As long as you don't beat yourself, there's a difference. I mean, same thing in bowling. I mean, I can get my ass beat by somebody that's better than me. That's perfectly fine. I mean, I can shoot 230 and lose, you know, as long as I didn't beat myself. You know what I mean?
It's true.
So.
It's very true.
Been there, done that. That's
not fun. Well, good. Well, hey.
I'm jealous. Do a little beach camping. That'd be
yeah, cool. I'll take some pictures. It's a new place. I haven't been to this place.
Big bonfire?
Assuming so. I'm going to bring some...
Grab some marshmallows.
Some libations. Yeah, I need to bring some snacks. I have to do that shopping tomorrow. But
have you gotten a fishing pole yet? You should get a fishing pole. You can do some shark fishing out there.
A fishing pole?
On the beach.
Just throw it in there?
Yeah, you can shark fish from the beach. That's a fun time. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
It doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but okay.
What do you mean? That'd be a great time. Build the bonfire. Literally, you just throw it out there. You stick the pole in the ground, you know, or you have it set up and you build the bonfire. It's a great time. Yeah.
I did. The girl I went out with on Sunday did say she likes fishing, and I'm like, okay. I mean, she didn't not seem like the fishing type. I mean, her nails were like perfect, so I'm like, you know. But that's
yeah, next nice
stage.
Nails, like,
I know. I met a guy who has a sailboat or something. I gotta hit him up at some point, but you know. I've been just on the land, walking around, checking things out.
You need to get your sea legs, James. Sea legs.
Get my sea legs. No, yeah. Mom's not much of a swimmer, so, well, you know, we're just going to enjoy ourselves. It's more relaxing.
Yeah.
Lower the blood pressure.
Has she been to Hawaii before?
She's never been.
Oh, she's never been. Okay, yeah. So nice. That'll be fun. That'll be a great time.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter and Side Action Podcast on Instagram. Follow me at Wexpool on Twitter and on Instagram.
Nice. And I'm Coop. You can follow me on Instagram at Dalton Cooper and on X at Mr. Grumpy Gills. Again, we are the Side Action Pod. Check us out on Instagram at Side Action Podcast and on Instagram at Side Action Pod. But until next week, we'll definitely work out a schedule because we got to talk about UConn winning a national championship.
And yeah, I mean,
how, you know, they're the first team since Florida to do back to back.
That's true.
You know, we're just living into the future right now.
And so. Then I want to hear your Masters takes next week, man. Come on.
Oh yeah, that too. Did you hear about like Tiger? That just a little look into the future as well. They were there was a close friend of his that said he hasn't had any sex in like 3 weeks because he's been trying to really clear his mind for the Masters. It's all about golf. So that's just the rumors. I don't know if they're true or not. That's just what rumor has on the internet out there. So you can check that out.
I hope that
yeah. Big sex toy guy. This guy. That's what I would say. So. that's just what rumor has.
Supposed to be on the after podcast part.
That's what the internet is saying. So, but yeah, until next week, Masters. We'll look at some odds. Hell yeah, talk about a hole in one.
Oh my god! All right, everybody, enjoy the weekend.
Love you guys.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.